Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 25.
Days have grown so lonely. For you I cry, for you, dear only. Why haven't you seen? For you, body and soul.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 25. I'm your host, Brendan Lowe, and I am podcasting from the car today because I am accompanying vocal jazz all week in Stockton, California at University of the Pacific. So it's a camp they run down there, down in Stockton, and I am the pianist for the vocal jazz. So it's about an hour drive for me, and I figured why not podcast in the car and get some information out there because I'm really not doing anything else. Either I'm listening to music or listening to other podcasts. But I figured this would be a good time to get some info out there, especially because of the info that I want to give you guys today, which is about playing with singers. So I thought it'd be fitting because I'm playing for a vocal jazz group. And I just played a gig on Sunday with two great singers to give some information about playing behind singers. So that's what this episode is about. I'm going to give you five tips or things to watch out for, really, when playing for singers and how to improve upon them. So first off, before we get into the information, I'm super excited because the Kickstarter program for jazzpianoschool.com made its funding. Yes, so that is just so awesome. I can't believe it. I'm super stoked. And what this means is basically I'm going to be hooking up with a branding consultant company by the name of Dreambox Creative. And you can go check them out. And he's actually a student of mine. I've said this on the podcast before, so I apologize if you guys have heard this. But he's going to be helping rebrand the website. We're going to be going over the platform and making sure everything flows properly, and you know, it looks good. And basically, I'm going to be releasing my course a little bit later in the year. So for people who are interested in learning more in-depth material on all the education I provide, you'll be able to sign up for the course and pretty much get taken through each step with me as I bring you along in the journey in learning jazz piano. And I cover everything you could possibly imagine regarding jazz piano. And I'm sure all your questions, how do I do this? How do I voice my hands? It's all answered in the course. And I've been there before, and I know how frustrating it can be to just feel like you're lost. So I'm going to have a small survey going out because I really want to get as much information as possible from you guys about the way you like to learn, the way that you enjoy learning, and how you've been most successful in the past and making progress through teachers, and what you'd like to see out of the course too, because it's still in the works. You know, I'm still creating it, so I really want it to be the best for you guys and just be, you know, wow, like this is it. This is what I've been looking for. This has been, my search is over. My jazz search is over. Like, I found my way. This is the light that I needed in order to make the progress and get to the spot that I want to be, you know, playing jazz piano. And I've been there. I'm still there. I mean, at some level, we'll always be at a point where we don't feel like we're playing our best, you know? So, you know, it'll always be there. But I want to provide a course where at least you can get to, you know, a very, very high level with constant steps, constant direction, a community that's going to support you and help answer questions with the course and me, you know, holding you by the hand and walking through all the steps and exactly what you need to practice, giving you all the exercises and all the knowledge and just everything, you know, every possible solution you could ever want. And that's just one course that can help you do all that. And I know it's hard to believe, like, oh, there's just going to be one thing. Well, that's impossible. But that's truly my aim. It's truly my goal to answer every single question you could possibly have. Any single problem, question, frustration, any sort of emotion, I want to solve it with this course regarding jazz piano. Okay, I think I've talked enough. So that will be released later in the year as I work with the branding company. And his name is Doru. He's been a student of mine for a couple of years now. He's awesome too. So, and one of the reasons he wanted to work with me is just because he believed in my methodology of teaching, and he's just never felt like he's been able to take things away from lessons before. He's never felt like he had true direction. You know, I'm sure you've gone through that feeling where you've had a lesson, it's just like, well, what do I do now? Like, I don't even really know what to practice still. The guy just told me a bunch of information, and how do I apply it? So he really felt like he was able to take key points away from my lesson, and he had a path, he had a plan to follow, and at the next lesson, we went through the next steps, and then he had a specific plan, he had a specific practice routine, he was ready to go. So he was making, you know, progress with each week and working towards his goal of what he wanted to accomplish. All right, that's enough. So the podcast associated with jazzpianoschool.com, if you haven't been there, I highly recommend doing that. You can go sign up for a free membership and get access to all the videos and the content that's on the site right now. So, 5 things that came up while I've been playing with vocalists a lot, and specifically recently, because I've been doing a lot of work with the singers. We had to rehearse, and you know, we had to do a lot of work together. So these are the 5 things that I saw most problematic, I guess, create the most amount of problems as we were going through the rehearsals, and things to watch out for when you are playing with vocalists. So I have them in my head. I didn't write them down because I'm driving, which I should have, but hopefully I can remember them. So number one is intros. All right. So when you're playing with a vocalist, you're going to get this a lot, and I'm just warning you, right? So there's vocalists aren't going to give much direction, right? Which we all wish we could have from good leaders. So this is also a tip for being a band leader. If you're a band leader, give great direction. Tell people what you want, and don't ask people, what do you want to do? You know, when people ask me, you know, sometimes you'll get a response like, well, you're the leader, like, or you'll usually get, I don't really know. So kind of know what you want and say, okay, this is what I want. And when that happens, the rehearsals go much smoother. They're quick. To the point, you get it written down, and boom, you know, that's it. You're done with the rehearsal. And then the concert's spot on too. So vocalists, just because they don't have a very musical background most of the time, right? And now I'm not knocking vocalists in this episode at all, because there's great vocalists who just have, you know, an abundance of information and can completely just, you know, fly through everything like they're a musician. But most of the time, in my experience, you're not going to get much direction. So for intros, you need to be able to create intros that a vocalist can hear harmonically. How do we do that? I bet you're wondering, okay, how do I do that? So what you need to do is look, first of all, because if a vocalist can't hear the harmonies, they're going to wait. And they're going to wait. And they're going to wait some more. And then they're waiting, you know? And by the time you know it, you're going around and around in circles creating harmonies, and the vocalist hasn't come back in, and it's super awkward, and everyone's staring at you, and you feel like you're screwing it up. So they'll keep waiting until you give them a clear, cut and dry intro that they're like, okay, this is my entrance. Because they don't want to be made to look like an idiot. Like, they don't want to come in the wrong spot. So by giving that clear intro, they're going to be like, okay, this is my spot, and then boom, you're right into the tune. So how do we create a clear intro? Well, the first thing you have to do is look at the first chord of the piece, the first basically measure of the piece. Now here are the things you are looking for. You are looking for pickups. Okay, does the singer have a pickup, and how long is the pickup? So The deal with that is you do not want to be playing over top of her pickup or playing rhythms that do not sync up with the pickup. So let's say she has a pickup of 1.5 beats. So basically she comes in on the end of 3. So 1, 2, 3, ba, ba, da. Maybe she does that. 1, 2, 3, ba, ba, da. So you're going to want to end your phrase, right, on the last measure before she comes in. So you don't want to be overplaying into her pickup. So I might play, if I had 2 bars, right, on my second bar, I'm going to leave room for her pickup to go into the piece. So here's my 2 bars. I might be playing da, 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 ba, 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 da, ba, ba, da. And then she comes in, okay? And, you know, that would be fine. So you want to make sure you cut off. So here's like a general rule of thumb. If she has a pickup after beat 3, then I'm probably going to end on beat 3, right? So 1, 2, bam, right? If she has a pickup that's before beat 3, like anywhere before beat 3, I'm going to end on beat 1 to give her a clear downbeat of where that beat 1 is and leave room for the pickup. All right, so if let's say the pickup's on the end of 1, okay, here are my last 2 measures, and we'll get into what we're actually playing, right, in a little bit. And I'm in the car, so I can't demonstrate any audio examples, but I'll do another episode for you guys on that. So I'm going to end on beat 1. So here are my last 2 bars. I'm playing ba da 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 ba boo beep ba ba, right? So she has that pickup on the end of 1, and I give her a clear downbeat right on 1 of my second measure so she knows where to come in. Ba da 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 ba, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, and then I break. So she has that, she's going to have that pickup by herself. All right, and when you give that clear break, that's a clear sign that, hey, it's your turn. It's your pickup, right? If you're not giving the break, then they're going to have no idea when to come in. Okay, absolutely no idea. Oh, well, you know, some might. Like the better ones will, even if you don't give the break. So they'll be helping you out. But so that's the first rule of thumb on creating the intro, is make sure that you look at the pickup before you start your intro. And oh, this is what I was saying before. Some singers will turn to you and be like, okay, give me 4 bars up front, go. You know, and they'll count you in. Or give me 8 bars up front. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. And you just got to start. So really quickly look at the pickup, see where you want to end. If the pickup is after beat 3, then you'll end on beat 3. Give them a clear downbeat on beat 3. If the pickup is before beat 3, then you'll end on beat 1. And just as another general rule of thumb, if the pickup is after beat 3, you can still end on 1. That'll just give them a little bit more space. So it kind of sounds like there's a gap in there, which I wouldn't recommend unless you're playing with highly skilled players, because that space will feel okay. But to a more beginner or someone who's not used to it, that gap is going to sound awkward. All right, so the more advanced players, they'll be able to use that space and feel it. But if you're playing with beginners who aren't used to the space, then I wouldn't recommend leaving 2 beats of space before her pickup. All right, so the pickups. The next thing is, what do we actually play? What harmonies, what intros do we play for them to create a nice intro to go into that? Well, here are some options, all right? And here's the first thing you need to do again. So once you've looked at the pickup, you want to look at the first chord, because that's the chord you're going to be setting them up for, right? So a lot of tunes don't always start on the 1. And that's where the rub comes in, right? That's where the problem. How do we set up to like the 2? Or how do we set up to the 4? Or how do we set up to the 5? Well, there's lots of different progressions you can take to set up towards the different chords. So let's say you have the 1. The 1 is the easiest, right? And what you can do is usually use the last 4 bars of the piece. So they probably have a 2-5. And then like a turnaround at the end. So for the last 4 bars, you can play a 2. Sorry, I'm in traffic here, so just trying not to get in an accident. So for the last 4 bars, you can play the 2, right? The 2 chord. Let's say we're in the key of C. You want to set up to the C major 7. So you're going D minor to, so I'm going to count the bars with you. D minor, two, three, four. G7, two, three, four. C major, two, three, four. G. So G7, right on beat one. There's our downbeat. So I'm going D minor, G7, C major 7, G7. And that sets us up for the pickups into the one chord, because we land on a 5. So whatever chord you're going to, you want to make sure the last chord you play leads into that next chord. So if you're going to the 1, I would probably play the 5 of the 1, so G7. If you're going to the 4, right, let's say the piece starts on the 4 major 7, so in the key of C, we'd start on the F major 7. I would want to end with a 5 chord of the F major 7, so I'd want to end with a C7 chord, right? And that's going to give the singer the harmony she needs to go into the melody that's going to be over the 4 major. All right, so if you have certain major 7 chords that start on, you're going to want to end on the 5 chord that leads into that major 7 chord, all right? Let's say you start on the 2 chord, all right? Here's a really good progression for the 2 chord. What I use is I'm going to play 1, 4, 3, and then 6 dominant, okay? And that's where I give her the downbeat, 1, 4, 3, 6 dominant, okay? So if we're in the key of C, and the tune starts on the 2 minor 7, so like D minor 7, I'm going to play C major, F7, E minor 7, and then give her the downbeat on the A7. And that will bring her in to the D minor 7, the 2 chord, right? So 1 major 7, 4 dominant 7. We're not using 4 major 7, although you could, but the 4 dominant sounds a little nicer in this case when we're leading into the 2 minor 7 to begin the piece off. And again, guys, this is a little bit more advanced episodes, but I'll place the progressions and everything on the website for you to see clearly. So 1, 4, 3, 6, boom, cut off, and then you're into the 2. Because the 6 dominant, like in the key of C, the A7 would lead into the D minor 7 chord, right? So the general rule of thumb is for the harmonies, always look to see what the chord is initially that you're starting off with. So if you're starting off with, whatever chord it is, just look to see where you need to set up for. So if you need to set up for the 2 chord, then you're playing the 5 of the 2. If you want to set up for the 1, then you're playing the 5 of the 1. All right? So that's basically the intro section. For the rhythms and everything, you can do whatever you want. There's a couple techniques I do. You can comp just strictly with chords. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it's nice to actually solo. You can use a nice solo line to bring them in over the harmonies. Okay? And again, that's a little bit more advanced. So if you're playing with a good singer, then she'll be able to hear it. But if you're not, she won't be able to hear the harmonies as well if you're soloing in the right hand and comping in your left hand. But you can either comp the chords rhythmically or kind of solo over the harmonies you choose, and then give them that downbeat, and then they have the pickups, and then you're into the piece. All right, and as far as what chords to play exactly, again, you can use the last 4 bars usually of the piece and change the turnaround to fit whatever chord you need to go into. You can use the last 8 bars of the piece, I recommend doing as well. So depending upon how many bars of the piece you want to give, I would probably start with the last 4 and then give her the downbeat, or the last 8 and then give her the downbeat. So that is rule number 1. That's the problem I see most with intros, all right? So you want to kind of get a good grasp on your intros. Practice intros to different pieces. You know, practice just flipping through the pieces and creating intros at different tempos, different feels, different styles, different speeds. And it's really an art form to create a good intro that a singer's like, wow. You know, they gave me a great compliment, actually. And not to toot my own horn here, but I really appreciate when singers say this. It's just like, you made it so easy for me, right? I didn't have to think at all about my endings or my intros. I basically just listened to you and went with you, and I felt super comfortable. And that's how all singers should feel when they're playing with you. They shouldn't feel like they're working, or they shouldn't feel like they're stressing out about where do I go or what's going on. It should just be a nice natural flow of them being able to express themselves through their voice. All right, tip number 2. this is really awesome because I'm killing all this time in the traffic that I'm in, is during the melody, so the singer has the melody and you're comping, okay? You want to be conscientious of where you're comping and your fills are, all right? So if the singer has a certain register, let's say the melody is "There Will Never Be Another You," okay? You need to know the melodies to the pieces that the singers are doing, or singing rather, in order to comp effectively. And I understand the last minute gigs and things like that, you might not know all of the melodies, but you want to listen to where the melody is. Even if you don't know the melody too well, you need to listen to where the melody is, because you don't want to interfere with the melody. And I hear so many pianists and guitar players playing in the same register or playing over top of the melody, and the melody is the melody, right? It's so important. That's the song right there. You know, it's the melodic line that is, you know, you could have the same harmonies in a different melody and it's going to completely change the piece, right? The feeling of the piece. The melody is so, so important. And to comp and have the stuff that you're doing take away from what the singer wants to do or interfere or block is just, it doesn't work, right? So it doesn't feel good, it doesn't swing, it doesn't sound good. So you want to be very, very conscientious of where you're comping. If the melody's up high, I'm not comping in the high end. Unless she leaves space, which is the second thing I want to say. We'll get to that in a second. But if the melody's high, I'm comping underneath. I'm very conscientious to comp underneath of the melody and support from the ground up, right? We wanna basically contrast. Obviously, if the melody goes super low, then you might do a little contrast by playing super high, because that's so different that it's going to be okay. But you don't want to get, you know, interfere where the melody is. All right? So just be really thoughtful of how you're supporting them from below. You never want to stand out. You don't want to be a sore thumb. You want to be their support net, right? Like they're in the circus. They want to feel like you're their net that they can fall back on, okay? And a lot of people I hear is there's no net, right? They're doing the trapeze just over the ground without a net, so they get kind of uncomfortable. When comping over the melody, when they leave space, this is the time in the melody when they're holding a note or there's space or rest, this is your time to fill, okay? So we're not trying to overfill or anything like that. And again, I hear sax players do this, is overfill, or they play lines that interfere with the melody. So just, you wanna kind of just hold back. You know, people give or like put out more during the melody when a singer's singing rather than they should hold back more. I would definitely say the more you can hold back, if you're not sure what to do, the better it's gonna sound. If you're overplaying, the worse it's gonna sound, if you're not sure what to do, really. So always put, you know, sway on the side of holding back rather than overplaying and overcomping. All right, so that's tip number two, is be conscientious of where the melody is and always aim to support the melody by playing underneath the melody and not interfering with what the singer is doing. Tip number three is extensions. And we haven't talked about extensions yet, but for some of the intermediate or advanced players who know about extensions or have added extensions in the past, this is going to be super useful. This is another reason why melodies are so important, and you can't get away without learning a piece without learning the melody. I mean, you can, but not in certain situations. You need to know the melody. Extensions will completely screw up a singer. I'm going to say that again. If you're adding extensions, in some circumstances, if they're not fitting with the melody, they're going to completely screw up the pitch of a singer. So you need to assess the level of the singer that you're playing with. If you feel like she can hold the pitch and stay with the melody while you're adding flat 13s and all these color tones, then go for it. It's going to make the music sound great. But if she hears these color tones that are completely out of the key, she's gonna follow you and lose her pitch. She's gonna lose the melody, and she's gonna look at you like you're the devil. Okay? She's gonna give you that head nod, like her eyes are gonna go away from the audience, look at you, give you the evil eye, like you're, you know, you're screwing something up when all you're doing is playing what you're used to, right? You're just adding some extensions and colors, and you're screwing her up, you know? So it takes a while, but you want to gauge the, you know, how well the singer can sing. So what I'm not saying this, but on one of the pieces, the melody was really difficult. So sometimes it has to do with the melody, but if the melody is really difficult, I'm going to use less extension. So the singer feels more comfortable, and she can really hit the awkward intervals that she needs to hit. If I'm throwing in extensions in there, it's really going to, you know, mess with her. So I was playing more root position chords, right, inversions of my seventh chords, and adding less color tones, adding less extensions, because I just want to give her the root of the harmonies, the pure essence of the harmonies. Now, with a more advanced vocalist, you can add in those extensions and it won't interfere with the melody. But at the same time, you want to be thoughtful about your extensions you're using and how they blend with the melody, right? So if the singer is singing a melody, let's say on a dominant chord, right? She's singing the third. Let's say the melody is the third. So on an F7 chord, she'd be singing, I got a lisp now. She'd be singing an A. Right, and if you're using a sharp nine or a flat nine, a sharp nine on the A, not a flat nine, just a sharp nine, you're going to be playing a G sharp or an A flat, right? So you're going to have a half step rub between that extension and the melody note, and that is not going to sound great. I mean, if you like that sound, it may sound great to some people, but to a lot of the traditional audiences and people you play for at gigs, that half-step rub is not going to sound good. So you really need to know the melody notes she's singing, and this is why it's so important to learn melodies, in order to choose the correct extensions that are going to work under certain melody notes. If she's singing a third, you need to be conscientious of the nine, the sharp nine. Even some flat nines, depending upon the progression, don't work well with thirds. The fourth, right, if you play a sus chord, that's really going to stand out too. If she's singing some sort of 13, then you got to be conscientious of your 13s. Like, you wouldn't want to play a flat 13 with her singing a natural 13 in the melody. So be very, very conscientious of extensions with the melody. All right, so that was tip number 3. Let me see, I'm doing pretty well remembering my tips. Number 4, okay, is soloing cues. So you may know, and it may be very obvious to you when you're done with your solo or when you're ending a solo. But for a singer, again, sometimes they're nervous. They don't want to screw up where they have to come back in. And they need a very, very direct cue to know, okay, like, now I'm supposed to come back in. Because again, if a leader doesn't tell you, all right, you're taking a chorus on this and then I'm going to come back in the top, or you're taking 1.5 choruses and I'm going to come back in the bridge, it's completely up to you. You need to take the responsibility on giving them a very direct cue on when they should come back in, because they don't know. You know, some singers do, some singers don't, but you need to know whether they do or do not, because it's your responsibility, really, as a professional musician, to make that judgment. So if you feel like they know, or if you feel like they're going to give you leadership as to when they should come back in, or excuse me, how long you're going to solo for, then just listen to how many choruses. If they're not giving you any leadership or telling you, then basically you want to look up, end your solo early, and give them a nice downbeat. Or even, you know, eye contact is the best, looking up, like nod your head, be like, okay, your turn, like I'm done. Or definitely cue with the music and give them eye contact. The more you can give them to cue them that you're done and it's their time to come back in, the better, right? Nod your head, shake your hand, wave to them, whatever you have to do to let them know you're done. That's tip number 4. All right, I'm about to pick up my dog here. I bring my dog to doggy daycare every day, or not every day, a lot of the times when I'm away, so that she can play with other dogs and doesn't have to stay at home. I don't know why that came up. Oh, because I'm picking her up right now. Yeah, and I'm almost there. All right, so here we go. Tip number 5 is outros. So outros is kind of complicated too. How do we know how to end pieces with singers? So now, singers, the most common way they're going to end a piece is to tag the ending. And usually, pieces end with a 2-5 progression. So if you have a piece in a tune in the key of C, then usually the tune is going to end with a D minor chord going to a G7 chord and then ending on a C major 7 chord. So what will happen is that once you've gone to the 5 chord, the G7 in this case, what the singer is going to do is tag the ending and go to the 3 chord, okay? So if you can picture this in your head. So they're going to go to the 3 minor 7. So what you'd play is an E minor 7, okay? And then your next harmony is going to be an A7. So basically you're just adding in a 3 and a 6 to turn the to make the turnaround longer. So you're adding in, so you're going 2 for a full measure, 5 for a full measure, 3 for a full measure, 6 for a full measure, and then 2 for a full measure, 5 for a full measure, and then you end it. All right? Now, when you get to the ending too, you need to watch, right? You can't just keep playing. I see drummers, bass players, saxophone players, everyone, they're so absorbed in their own thing that they totally miss the cues from the singer. So even before you get to the ending, you should be looking up, you should be listening like the world dependent upon it, where she's slowing down, where she's taking breaths, right? And as she starts to slow down, you're slowing down with her. And then when she gives you that little cue, maybe she might give you like a finger or a cut off with her hand. That's when you're done, right? You're not adding any more notes. And then when she hits that last note, she'll hit a very last note and you'll go back in and then spice up the ending. And I'll give some more audio examples. You know, I'll give more further examples on specific outros and intros with singers, but that's basically how endings are going to go. So just be very, very, you need to listen, right? You can't be absorbed in what you're doing. You need to be putting yourself out there, right? Your head needs to be up. You need to be listening to the bass drums. You need to be listening to the singer when she's taking the breaths and basically, you know, just really, really involved with where she wants to go. But a general rule of thumb is they'll tag the ending. So they're going to go 2-5-3-6-2-5-1. And each of those chords is going to be a measure long, and just follow them with the very last note and leave a little space. And once they hit that last note, then you fill in with the 1 major 7 or the very last chord of the piece. So that's it, guys. Just to recap, number one, okay, we talked about, what did we talk about? Intros. We talked about intros and how to follow intros, how to set up intros, the pickups and the harmonies. Number two is the register. Be very conscientious of the register that you're in with her singing the melody or him singing the melody, right? Number three is the extensions. You know what extensions to pick, because some extensions can really mess singers up and they'll blame you, okay? And we don't want that, because we want them to hire us back for gigs. So we want to do the best to make them feel comfortable, and that way they continue to hire us and not other pianists. Number four is soloing cues, okay? Make sure you give a really nice cue so they know when to come back in and they feel good about coming back in and they're happy, right? Number five is endings. Make sure you're following on the ending, because if you're not following them, again, they're going to give you nasty looks because you're not listening to them. They're the leader. They're the diva. You need to listen to the singer. You always need to watch where they're going, watch everything they're doing so you can follow them with your complete attention, okay? And they'll usually do the tag, and then they'll end on the very last note, and you fill in and make it all pretty. All right, guys, so I hope you enjoyed that episode on hanging with singers and getting hired back for their gigs. And again, thank you so much for listening. I'll give you guys updates on the branding in the course. I'm gonna be sending out a survey soon. And as always, guys, happy practicing.